or so. In issues related to good and evil and calamities, and same, for instance, regarding the rain that we see and the earthquake, where we see an earthquake that happens in a country, for example, yes, we see that the town or the city is less affected compared to villages.
Yes.
You see, the villages are completely destroyed. When we destroy, for example, right now, when we want to destroy, this is just another example to
yes,
try to explain earthquake. When we destroy a building
mm-hmm,
in order to build a new one, and we only share it dust. So when you destroy a building, you just see dust. But in future, this building is going to be a medical center that would be used for a lot of people. More people can benefit from it. And to make a new building, obviously, you have to destroy the older one.
Yes.
And that takes place with this kind of occurrences by breaking down the buildings to build a new one. You can't just wait for a building to fall off.
Okay.
You see? So the same thing goes for earthquakes and other things, of which they say for earthquake has two natural phenomena why it takes place. One of them is when there is a shift in water, and the other one when there is a moon
yes,
pull that pulls yes, the earth towards itself.
Okay.
That's when it happens. And the benefits of earthquake, if seen, they produce gas and minerals, different kind of minerals that are buried. You see them floating above for the benefit of mankind. You see?
Thus, okay. That's right. So these are about the natural cancer reasons.
Yeah,
that we are
natural
talking.
Occurrences. Okay, okay. At the same time, we want to talk about the second part, that yes, is the sins. What we have seen here, the sins are accumulated two ways. One is the sins that we know that these are sins
yes,
that we shouldn't occur, and where Allah has stated many times. We have seen in the Quran and also in Hadith, if you do this and this, this will take place. If you do this and that, that will take place. For example, if we see the occurrence at the time of Prophet Lut, alayhi salam, that when people went against the natural cause and effect, they created something that was not supposed to be created. The lightning that happened towards the city.
Yes.
You see, these are some kind of sins that actually do bring the thing very fast. And we can see that some of the good things that we do can sometime delay the effect. For example, if earthquake is supposed to happen right now, but because the community, the town, the center does good things, they prevent themselves from sinning, they delay it, like the effect delays it or something happens, but in protecting the sanctity of these people. Sometimes, no, it is because of the issues. Earthquake is not a new phenomenon.
Yes.
It is a very old one.
Yes.
And from this old phenomenon, earthquake somewhat is good for what? Two to three things. One, it provides gases and natural things. It is good for the natural flow of the earth. And third, for historical experiences.
Yes.
When we know this kind of earthquake happens, we try to do what? We try to build buildings that are anti-earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
You see, in a way, they protect us from earthquake. You see, the thing is that sometimes because we do not want to make we do not want to take lessons from it, we end up building normal building knowing that this is an earthquake place in general, but yes, we do not take lesson and build something that is better. Sometime we have seen in construction, and yes, this is not the first time, that normally the standard of such building
yes,
in any city has some standards, but because those standards are not made out, the standards are not used. Because of making more money, some of these people go and create buildings that are of low quality. And when this kind of incident happens, it has high effect on people.
Okay.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Inshallah, 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 you'll find your way.
We have Surah Zalzal in the Holy Quran, isn't it?
Yes.
Referring to, we can say, a kind of shaking and the quake that will happen But according to some exegetes, this zelzal is also zelzal of inside of the spirit too, okay?
Yeah.
So when the earthquake of the inside happens, it will change you totally to a person of a spirituality. It is very much different from what we see as the earthquake today in the world. So, for example, is Allah going to punish the people by sending them down such disasters? Do we have any Quranic evidence? For example, in the Quran, they say that this tribe or that tribe or these people or that nation were punished because of doing sin by sending them, for example, such natural disasters?
Yeah, so here there are some verses that I would like to portray. For example, of knowledge, it is only a little that is communicated to you. Surah Al-Isra, verse 85.
Okay.
So regarding the causes of earthquakes and stuff and the hikmah, the wisdom behind it, only a part of knowledge we have, and the remaining is according to Allah's wisdom. The second verse tells us when the suffering reached them from us. From us means history in the past.
Okay.
Why then did they not learn humility? The occurrence of earthquake, as I said before, it's not something new. It has been happening from previous times. But people did not learn. For example, when construction started, people did not learn that now we should build better buildings. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't just look for money in building constructions.
Yes.
This is one part of it. The second part of it is that earthquake happened into sinning places as well in the old times. Why did we not learn humility? Why did we not become better from that? You see, we ended up continuing our lives the way we want, following our desires, and ended up falling into calamity.
Okay.
This is related to sinning. Then it comes ahead where it has nothing to do with the sin.
Yes.
It is a test for someone, for a person. So when they say that when an earthquake happens in a place where good and bad live in accordance together, related correlation, for the bad, it is a punishment.
Okay.
For the good, it's a test.
It's a lesson, maybe.
It's a lesson.
Yeah.
For anything that you want to do, has to go through a process. For example, we talk about gold or iron.
Yes.
The only way it can reach its highest potential is after going through a burning flame.
Yes.
The iron or the gold. It's only after melting it you can get different designs of it and where our women can wear it at home as an ornament. You see? Yes. Everything has to go through hard process.
Mm-hmm.
Even a person, a human being, if he has potential right now, it is because of the hard work and difficulties that he faced.
Mm-hmm.
If you take earthquake and natural calamities as a difficulty, it's to open your potential.
That's right.
It's only when you realize it as a calamity, a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will you be able to reach higher stages of your own potential.
And in the past, when the earthquake happens, because most of the buildings were so small, they were not that much long or tall, so there was no casualties, okay? I mean, the number of the casualties were very much lower than today, because nowadays, because of the so-called modern lifestyle, they build tall buildings, okay? So whenever there is even a small, we can say scale, or low scale, we can say earthquake, so all the downfall down, so the casualty and the numbers goes up. I do want to say that the modern lifestyle has also has affected, and they say that some people say that the biologists, we can say the scientists on earthquake say that earthquake has its own positive effects for the earth too. Okay, because these shakes that are happening, for example, under deep layers of the world of the earth, giving them life again. So this is not something absolutely negative in nature. I mean, earthquake itself, it has its own positive effect. Okay. So, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to intentionally punish a tribe by earthquake. Is it so? Do we have any Quranic evidence, for example, showing this?
When you say Allah intentionally does something, there is nothing for Allah being unintentional.
Uh-huh.
We need to understand one thing, that when Allah says that he does something or he does not do something, it is the flow of cause and effect.
Yes.
He will not do anything that is against this cause and effect. So because of the benefit, as you said, yes, right now yourself, that these calamities that we see right now, especially I think you're referring to earthquake when, yes, there used to be times where there were, yeah, less earthquakes, yes, than now. So the key word here is earthquake to happen.
Yes.
Now, whether in low capacity and high, yes, it has relation to technology, to factories being created,
yes,
to pollution of air. These things are there. But we need to understand that earthquake, even in those times when there were no this kind of things, it happens. So the cause of earthquake itself, it's not only because of the factories and the stuff,
right,
but at the same time, it's because of the progress for human being. While giving out at the same time, it gives out minerals and stuff. At the same time, it is also a way of life for someone to understand that we need to be better.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Brother Sohail, for a nice explanation. How to take lessons from the earthquakes, and is it possible that the earthquake might be the punishment of the sins of the people or not? It was very kind of you. Thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Inna fil jannati nahran min labani Ali wa Husayni. لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Eruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Pureza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
By some accounts, the history of animation stretches back to the turn of the 20th century. However, the art finds its roots in antiquity. A 5,200-year-old vase found in Iran's burnt city in the 1970s features a series of five images that researchers have only recently identified as being sequential. Giving it a spin, one would see a goat leaping to snatch leaves from a tree. Fast forward to today, Iranian animations have made significant progress. While the first modern cinematic animations were produced in Iran about a decade ago, thanks to the efforts by Iran's talented youths, the country's animated movies have attracted the attention of a huge number of viewers. The number of high-quality animations has grown compared to previous years in Iran. The new award-winning animated blockbuster Lupetu is a perfect example. The name Lupetu is inspired by a word local people in Kerman province of Iran used to refer to handmade toys that mothers used to make for their children in the past. The animation is about a sanitarium where a doctor treats his mental patients by teaching them to make toys. An unknown culprit vandalizes the creative toy workshop, which is particularly popular among Iranian children, and causes its closure. The doctor's son, Ali, tries to help his father to solve the problem. The process of making the animation took over 3 years. It was ready to be screened in 2020. However, the coronavirus outbreak delayed the screening, and finally, it hit Iran's silver screens from early November 2022. The box office hit is one of the most popular on-screen films of Iranian cinemas right now. It managed to become the most popular movie in Iranian cinemas only within a month and a half of its release in the fall season. Lupa 2 has also taken part in various national and international festivals. Despite their success, the director of Lupa 2 says there is no room for complacency, adding, Iranian animation studios should redouble their efforts to keep up with the big names in the industry.
Iran's animation industry is progressing. It's perfect that children can watch this animation in the cinemas. But we have a long way to go. We should produce more high-quality cinematic animations to keep up with foreign animations.
Lupa 2's producers say it will soon be screened in other countries, with Turkey and Russia showing interest to screen the animation in their cinemas.
Several high-quality cinematic animations have been made in Iran in recent years, and Lupa 2 is one of them. The blockbuster animation's success testifies that Iran has made significant progress that puts it on a par with big names in the industry.
In order to avoid paying billions of dollars in fines, it appears that the Pakistani government is attempting to find a solution for the completion of an Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline project. This comes after Pakistani lawmakers demanded progress on the publicly funded project and warned that Pakistan could face its penalty if the pipeline project with Iran is not completed before the year end. The Petroleum Ministry officials warn that Pakistan will have to pay $18 billion as a fine if it terminates Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline agreement. The officials told lawmakers that Islamabad has spoken to the United States to request a waiver as there is a ban on importing gas from Iran. The parliamentarians asked the Pakistani Ministry of Foreign Affairs to summon the American envoy and demand that he either grant Islamabad permission to move forward with the project or provide funding to cover the fine. Washington has been pushing Islamabad to give up the plan to import gas from neighboring Iran. However, the government has so far publicly resisted the pressure, arguing that the project is vital to fulfill the country's energy needs.
We should revive the Iran-Pakistan pipeline. That is the key. And we also demand the lifting of sanctions which have been imposed by certain Western countries against Iran, because the sanctions are wrong, they are unjust, and they are immoral. And Iran, like Pakistan, is a peaceful country. They want to strengthen regional relations.
Like the rest of the world, Pakistan is no exception to the global energy crisis, which is worsening each passing day. Experts believe that pending gas pipeline project with Iran could be an immediate remedy to overcome the energy needs in Pakistan if the country manages to get out of the U.S. influence.
Because of the U.S. Importance in foreign relations, Pakistan has always been pressurized by the United States not to increase its trade with Iran and not to negotiate any agreements with Iran. Unfortunately, Pakistan has yielded to that pressure. Pakistan is importing gas from Qatar and other countries, Azerbaijan even, and why not import gas from Iran, which is cheaper than from so many other countries.
In 2009, the gas companies of both Pakistan and Iran signed an agreement under which Islamabad committed to building an 800-kilometer pipeline to the Iranian border by the end of 2014. However, due to the U.S. pressure, Islamabad could not fulfill its commitment. Iran has already finished a portion of the pipeline in its own territory from the gas field to the Pakistan border, where it should connect to the Pakistani part.
The call on the Pakistani government to step up efforts to complete Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline project comes as Islamabad is already grappling with several crises here at home. Avoiding this $18 billion penalty could save the country from falling into another one. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Syrian political parties, along with Syria-based Palestinian factions, have gathered in Arnous Square in Damascus, calling on the U.S. and its Western allies to lift economic sanctions on Syria. Speakers said this Western siege on Syria is inhumane and requires urgent actions by the international community, considering that people in Syria are dealing with deteriorating economic conditions following the recent earthquakes.
We express our anger over the unilateral sanctions imposed by the U.S. and its allies. Syrians suffered a lot as a result of such unjust and inhumane actions. Not lifting them is a crime against humanity. We call on the U.N. to shoulder its responsibilities and try to get such sanctions lifted.
We reiterate our support for Syria and reject the unjust seizure act, which led to shortages in basic needs. We call on the U.S. to stop looting Syria's resources and get out of the Arab country. We also call on Arab and Islamic nations to stand beside Syrians dealing with crises. We call on the Arab League to give Syria's seat back to the country.
Participants raised Syrian and Palestinian flags as well as banners asking for an end to the decades-long bans that have deprived them of their basic needs and resulted in a surge of food and medicine prices.
This is an unjust siege. We as Syrians are suffering from this siege in all aspects of our daily lives, starting from transportation, because the bans have caused a lack of fuel as well as shortage in medicine and also high food prices. All that is because of the imperial blockade.
Life changed so much following the sanctions. Prices went high. People are searching for their basic needs. This siege caused a shortage of so many basic commodities. We call on the world to do something and help us.
The recent earthquakes have further worsened the already deteriorating economic and humanitarian situation in Syria. The UN says even before the earthquake tragedy, 70% of the population needed humanitarian assistance due to the war on the country. One challenge after another, Syrians endured so many hardships in the past decade that made living a normal life a daily challenge. U.S. and EU sanctions exacerbated their suffering, and they demand an end to such injustice. Hamad Ali, Damascus.
The Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Rafael Grossi, has said that there is, quote, great expectations about his ongoing talks with Iranian officials over issues concerning their cooperation. The remarks sent a positive signal on the course of cooperation between the agency and Tehran. That positive assessment was also echoed by Mohammad Islami, head of Iran's Atomic Energy Organization.
The Islamic Republic will in no way compromise on its national interests and its national security. These meetings show Tehran and the IAEA maintain a professional relationship based on trust, and that we attach great importance to abiding by the IAEA safeguards.
Islami added that IAEA reports have confirmed that Iran has not enriched uranium beyond 60% and that issues regarding claims that some uranium particles have been found in undeclared sites in Iran have been resolved. Grossi, for his part, said that the discussions are being held in an atmosphere of honesty and cooperation. Asked to comment on claims that IAEA has adopted a political approach towards Iran, he insisted that the agency is not a political tool for any country.
The IAEA has not been and will never be a political tool of anybody. I, as Director General, I am independent. I am under no country's instructions. And we act in a way that is very transparent. Member states have a board of governors. Every step we take is scrutinized, and I think that what is important is to work together, as the Vice President was saying, work on the cooperation, which is very important, on peaceful uses, work on the observance of the comprehensive safeguard agreements, and all the rest is speculation.
Grossi was also asked by reporters present in the presser to comment on the Israeli regime's total lack of accountability regarding its nuclear weapons program. Grossi said that there are limitations to the agency's inspections of those that have not signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty.
That being said, let me conclude this important question by saying that every country in the world should be a member of the Non-Proliferation Treaty.
The visit appears to have helped improve relations between Iran and the IAEA, particularly scientific and technical collaboration between them. The two officials said that Iran's annual nuclear science conference, which has so far been held on a national level, will be upgraded to an international conference from next year.
Both sides have expressed satisfaction with the talks, and Mr. Grossi himself has called the atmosphere positive, which could pave the way for the revival of the nuclear deal. Gisumish Ahmadi, Tehran.
Even though inflation remains at a 40-year high, United States President Joe Biden has terminated a program which provided extra food money for over 40 million of the poorest Americans. The elderly, the disabled, students, poor children, and the working poor are now forced to find an average of nearly $100 more every month to spend on food. With sanctions on Russia still massively backfiring across the West, grocery prices here have soared more than 11% over the last year.
The families aren't purchasing food at the same price that they were pre-pandemic. So apart from having families come in more often, we may start seeing families that have to cut back on their housing budget. So what they typically spent on rent, utilities, they may have to start dipping into that to pay for groceries.
Experts on food insecurity contend that food aid to the poor has been insufficient, and that was long before the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program started seeing cuts. The expansion of so-called food stamps was both popular and successful, leading to an immediate 10% reduction in the overall poverty rate and a 14% drop in child poverty.
Versus 2021, when a lot of the pandemic relief was in force, our numbers were actually down significantly. So we've seen our numbers grow from 2021 to 2022 about 40%, give or take. We can only imagine what this next round will bring.
Without government involvement, citizens can only turn to charities for help. In states which have prematurely stopped the expanded food aid, food banks are already reporting a 40% increase in the number of visitors. Last year, the ruling Democrats voted to end the pandemic's expansion of Medicaid, the federal program which provides a bare minimum of health care for the nation's poor. At the end of this month, at least 15 million people will also lose their health care coverage. Ramin Mazahari, Chicago.
A big rally was held in the blockaded Gaza Strip following the Friday prayers to support Palestinians in the Al-Quds and the occupied West Bank in the face of rising Israeli settlers' aggression against Palestinians. People from all walks of life came out to express their commitment to resistance as the best way to defend Al-Quds and the occupied West Bank against Israeli attacks. Tensions have been skyrocketed in the recent days as extremist Israeli settlers under the protection of Israeli regime forces went on a rampage in the occupied West Bank villages, torching dozens of houses and cars. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says the upcoming holy month of Ramadan will witness an increase in resistance against the Israeli regime.
We vow to make the holy month of Ramadan as a month of renewing our commitment to defending Al-Aqsa Mosque and Palestine. The holy month of Ramadan will be a month of mercy and unity among Palestinians, while we turn it into a month of hellfire that will burn the occupiers and the Israeli settlers.
Israeli forces and settlers' attacks since the start of 2023 have claimed the lives of some 70 Palestinians in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds. Protesters shouted slogans against the Israeli regime and called on all Muslims to support Palestinians and help defend Al-Quds.
We call on our brothers in Al-Quds and the occupied West Bank to remain strong and steadfast. We will always support them, and we demand all Muslims and Arabs to support them in the face of settlers' attacks.
Latest figures show that the Israeli settlers' population in the occupied West Bank has grown to more than 500,000 as of January 2020. This is while some 200,000 settlers reside in Al-Quds. The Hamas movement stressed that Palestinians will remain united in the face of all Israeli aggressions.
We are here to support the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds, and we say to the Zionist regime and those who support it that the Palestinian revolution and the resistance will not stop and will spread to all Palestinian cities. This protest is sending a message of unity against the Zionist regime and the radical right-wing Zionist cabinet that continues to kill and maim Palestinians.
Observers say the international community has failed to help the Palestinians in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds and turned a blind eye to Israeli violations against them. Palestinians here are calling for stepping up armed resistance against the Israeli regime in order to foil all plots against Al-Quds and the occupied West Bank. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
With a crippling economy and a local currency losing more than 90% of its value, many of the Lebanese people dealing with economic hardships are hoping that the upcoming drilling activity in Lebanon's waters will lead to the extraction of gas. We are here on the Lebanese southern coast facing Block 9, which includes the Qana field, a prospective gas-rich field where Total Energies is expected to begin drilling this summer. And although it might be a while until the country sees any tangible revenues, many believe it could be the only life buoy for a drowning economy. According to the schedule, the program will continue for over a year, and that they're now waiting for the arrival of a rig that's needed for the drilling operation.
We are very serious about the need to drill as soon as possible and find out if indeed all the hopes and the positive assessments that we heard from and opinions that we heard from the CEOs of Eni and of Total, that indeed we have a promising field in Qana and that we will indeed have a discovery toward the end of the year. That's our hope.
As officials are working out the logistics for the foreign companies, observers remain worried over a potential intervention by the United States, which has placed many sanctions impacting Lebanon in recent years.
It's about time for the Americans to stop hindering the companies. And also it's about time for the Lebanese government in order to stand still and insist on Lebanese extraction of the oil and the gas.
This place could have been a confrontation ground. Instead, it is witnessing unprecedented tranquility. The 64-year-old Jamal Hamze is a retired school principal who now spends most of his time in his garden. Like many in the southern border town of Naqoura, he believes that this is all due to the fact that the resistance has deterred the Israeli regime from threatening the area.
Lebanon should be able to drill its gas resources before Israel can start drilling operation in the Karish field. That was the equation that Sayed Hassan Nasrallah raised, and if it weren't for this equation, then we could not talk about drilling in Block 9 or achieve the victories we have had.
The resistance is the only hope we have to be able to restore our rights to our oil and gas resources. We were able to get the maritime deal thanks to the power of the resistance.
Total Energies has stressed that the maritime deal between Lebanon and the Israeli regime ended a deadlock over exploration activities. But some in Lebanon believe Hezbollah might need another round of UAV operations to get the drilling operation on track. Maryam Saleh, Naqoura, South Lebanon.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
Kentucky gubernatorial candidate Geoffrey Young has said that American leaders are fundamentally stupid. The U.S. Democrat said in the rush to fight Russia and punish Europe, Washington elites have brought humanity to the brink of nuclear war. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT noted, motivated by a desire to sever Germany's economic ties to Russia, the U.S. intellectually bankrupt politicians have made nuclear war a realistic possibility, Kentucky gubernatorial candidate Geoffrey Young told RT recently. Young said that the electorate he has spoken to in Kentucky are sick of seeing their tax dollars go to Ukraine and think that the U.S. should cut off the supply of arms to Kiev. In Washington, however, politicians are separated from reality, he said. I think most of them are severely deluded about reality by decades of anti-Russian propaganda in our mainstream media, he said, pointing to the fact that Congress is currently holding hearings on climate change, which he called totally irrelevant at this moment when humanity is threatened by a possible nuclear war. Aside from using Ukraine to fight a proxy war against Russia, Young claimed that the Biden administration's overarching goal has been to strengthen Washington's hold over our European so-called allies. He explained, the Nord Stream bombing was a part of that strategy designed to make Germany, the largest economy in Europe, totally dependent on the U.S. For decades, Washington's biggest nightmare has been that Germany and Russia would ally, have their economies complement each other, and make the United States irrelevant. American journalist Seymour Hersh recently published reports blaming the bombing of the Nord Stream pipelines on the CIA and the Norwegian Navy, who he claimed acted on the instruction of President Joe Biden. Hersh said that the attack was largely intended to remove Berlin's ability to lift sanctions on Russia and resume buying Russian gas, which is significantly cheaper than American liquefied natural gas. These sanctions have been ineffective. According to the most recent figures from the International Monetary Fund, Russia's economy is set to grow faster than that of the UK and Germany this year, and faster than all of the G7 nations in 2024. Yet, the West continues to prepare more sanctions on Moscow out of incompetence, Young told RT. Our leaders are intellectually bankrupt. They don't know what they can accomplish and what they cannot accomplish. Fundamentally, they are stupid, and they don't have any other ideas, he said. The U.S. and its allies should therefore back off before the conflict in Ukraine spreads any further, he recommended. Young's position on Ukraine puts him at odds with the rest of the Democratic Party, who have voted in lockstep to continue the U.S. military support for Ukraine. Only a minority of Republicans in Congress have opposed this support, with 11 GOP representatives sponsoring legislation last month that would cut off the flow of weapons to Kiev. Young is challenging incumbent Governor Steve Beshear in the Kentucky Democratic primary this May. He ran for the House of Representatives as a self-described peace Democrat last November, but lost to Republican Andy Barr.
According to Press TV, a war of words has been taking place between the US and Russia over the destruction of Nord Stream pipelines in September last year. The Russian embassy to the United States said last month the United States should try to prove it was not behind the destruction of the Nord Stream gas pipelines that connected Russia to Western Europe. The embassy said in a statement Moscow considers the destruction of Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 pipelines an act of international terrorism and will not allow it to be swept under the rug. Russia is asking the UN Security Council to order an independent inquiry into the September attacks on the Nord Stream gas pipelines. Russia gave the 15-member council a draft resolution which would ask UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres to establish an international investigation into the sabotage and identify who was to blame. The US and NATO had called the September incident an act of sabotage. Moscow has blamed the West, but neither side has provided evidence. However, American investigative journalist Seymour Hersh said last month that US Navy divers had destroyed the pipelines with explosives. He said President Joe Biden personally issued the orders. A leading group of atomic scientists in the United States has said recently humanity is standing at its most perilous time on record, with the so-called doomsday clock advancing to within just 90 seconds of midnight due to Russia-Ukraine crisis. Russia began its special military operation in Ukraine on February 24, 2022, with a declared aim of demilitarizing Donbas, which is made up of Donetsk and Luhansk self-proclaimed republics. The Kremlin believes the Ukraine conflict to be a proxy war waged against it by the US regime and its allies.
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope. Tour the pitch. On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. I am a Muslim. Islamite. Islamite. Allah my Lord. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم dear listeners welcome to Youth Station I'm your host Mehdi once again we're gonna head towards the station
wa alaikum assalam brother I'm here as well I'm Asma
salam Asma how are you how
are you thank you how are you
oh I'm all right I'm yeah, very you're... hyped up I think I've had a lot of sugar today yeah it's getting to my head
yeah all right. That's
have you seen one of those memes A photo where there's, I never knew what they call those stairs. You know those stairs that they have, those boxes they have after competitions and there's one, the first, second and third.
Yeah.
And everywhere, you see this everywhere in the competitions, the Olympics, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
Like the first position is like in the middle and the second and the third. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a meme that I was... The third, the one in the third place,
yeah.
this guy's like proper hyper and he's like screaming and everything. And one in the first place and second place is just looking at him like, what's wrong with this guy? He's in the third place.
Yeah.
Right? You know?
Not a big deal.
Yeah. Like I'm the one who's in the first place. He's like, you know, like.
It's okay.
No, he's
There's
in the first
competition.
Place. Right? He's in the first yeah. place. But like the one in the third place is like even more hyper.
So happy.
And, yes. He's happier than the person in the first place. That's something like we do observe in people. Like certain people, they might have everything. They might achieve whatever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They might achieve another person's dream.
Yeah.
But...
Grab it, of course, not achieve.
Achieve. No. Well, I mean, like, he succeeded in a certain thing.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But, like, that thing, yeah. which is...
He got something that is the wishing of the other
Yeah, exactly. Someone else's dream.
The desire
you know?
Of other yeah. people, yeah.
But then there's a person who gets the most simplest of things or achieves the most simplest of things.
And they're more happier.
Yeah, this guy's like hysteric. You know, they're ecstatic. Yeah. They've lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
As if that, right. Now, What do you think happens? Why does this happen?
I would say some people are more grateful to the things they achieve, so they know the value of even the simplest thing that gets into their life. But the other people who are not very much happy with the greatest dreams that they achieve, maybe they've been inured to life, maybe they are accustomed to it, maybe... You know how what happens to human beings when they get used to things, or when they have too much of goodness in their life? Mm-hmm. They no longer feel the desire to have anything, and they have it. So everything in life turns out to be an illusion to them. I guess that's why they don't feel happy with it.
What do you mean by that illusion? What do you mean?
Like it's a mirage.
Okay.
I had it in mind, and now I have it.
Well,
so
like the mirage is something that's not there, right?
Yeah.
But that these people are achieving it. What do you mean? Like, it's not an illusion. They actually got it.
Like, you know, like when you see a mirage from far away, then you feel like it's something very, I don't know how to say it. It makes you so happy to think about it.
Okay, yeah.
But just imagine it's there, and it's not a mirage, and you get it. And when you get it, you feel like, okay, it wasn't just the way I thought it is. Mm-hmm. Or I have too much of it. Now I don't understand the feeling of even wishing that thing.
Okay, that's actually a good perspective. I'm thinking the person who is overwhelmed and who is happy with what he has or has achieved. In our example, the person in the third place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The guy in the third place, he's not comparing himself or competing in his own mind with the person who's in the first place or the second place. You know, one might say that, it's not very good. It's not very positive because, you know, you have to keep your hopes high. You need to keep the stakes high. You need to aim high, right? And you need to have that motivation to, you know, excel
to be the best.
Right, to be the best in everything.
In every
right?
single thing.
Exactly. Some people might say that. But like from the third place guy's perspective, yeah. he doesn't care about that.
No, that's very nice. Yeah.
You know, like he doesn't feel
the competition.
Yeah, exactly. The social constructs of society, he is not bound by that. What he's looking at is himself. What he was yesterday, how much he worked for what he's achieved, right?
Yeah.
And where it was that he'd started, right? So if he's comparing himself to himself, right? If he's competing with himself. His yesterday, then he's won.
Yeah.
And if he has...
And he has every right to be happy.
He has every... Yeah, because he's won everything,
yeah.
right? However, if this guy... He sees that he has actually demoted himself from yesterday's performance. Then he's gonna work harder. He's gonna realize that. Listen, no, you know, I've not been growing. I've not been static.
I've had better days.
Yeah, I've had better days.
Yeah,
and you know, it's only fair for me to work harder to improve where I am. So yeah, I think like competing with others in terms of
being the best or getting the best things.
Yeah, exactly. Is pointless, to be honest.
Of course,
literally pointless. If you talk about, in any perspective, like for example, spirituality, anything, talk about anything.
Yeah.
People have an idea. They say that, like, you know, in spirituality, look at the people who are beyond you. Well, let's head for a break. You can have your cup of tea or sip of water.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back to Youth Station. Right, so before I went to the break, we went to the break. Wow, I'm always talking about myself, aren't I?
Yeah.
I was pointing towards is like people say that in terms of spirituality, like look at people who are above you or who've gained more than you have, right? Fair enough, it's true. But like, it's true in the sense that you don't get ahead of yourself. You don't become proud.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. Okay, that's true. But in terms of competing with them, I don't think that's actually very productive. That's actually detrimental for your growth. Yeah. Because you're looking at a person, you're like, oh, this guy's fasting like 365 days, you know?
Yeah.
Look at that. You head towards that. What happens? You drain yourself. Your battery's low. Boom, you're done.
Yeah.
You understand? And you've got no energy for any kind, no spirituality in your life. You're done with it. You're like, I'm tired of this now, you know? Like, so competing with people.
And you know what? It's not about quantity.
It's not, certainly not.
It's about quality.
The thing is, when I'm in my head comparing myself, competing with people who are like above me, then the only thing that I'm looking at, like, I'm only looking at it as quantitative, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's what I'm looking at now. Because I can never understand what that guy is going through. Neither that can that guy understand what I'm going through.
Of course,
like,
yes, right? No, we're living their own lives.
Exactly. What I can see is the apparent.
Yeah.
Which, what is it? Quantity.
You know, even in a spirituality, I would say sometimes we say, okay, that person is a sinner, then maybe I'm closer to the Lord.
Yeah.
But that's wrong.
Yeah, maybe that thought itself is going to drive you away from Allah subhanahu
wa ta'ala. Exactly. Because maybe that person, in just a moment, just a slight moment, then that person gets so close to Allah in a way that he's going to be even more valuable than you, who has been spending all your life fasting, praying, whatever.
Well, you know, all these are rituals, right? Rituals are not supposed to be the goal.
Yeah.
You know, they're meant to take you somewhere,
they're
right?
The ways.
Yeah, they are the path. Yeah, it's the path which you tread and you get somewhere.
Exactly.
So if I am looking at it as in terms of quantity, then as you mentioned,
it's all about quality. It's quality that matters in our life. And by the way, there is something. I also never feel the competition. Ever since I finished high school, I promised myself that I would never go for any sort of competition.
Why did you fail in high school?
No. No, I found all the efforts that I've been through was just a futile thing.
Going because you scores. Failed?
No, because I understood that going to the best university or studying with the best students is not a goal in life.
Okay.
And then I understood that every moment that is given to you in life is going to be an opportunity.
Okay.
Which may not be given to you tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. Because death is always there.
Hmm.
And then after that happened to me, then I feel like everything is futile and meaningless.
What?
Because there is no competition, you know?
Everything is futile?
Yeah, everything.
So, like, if there's no competition, it's futile?
Everything that you do in, you know, as you go for a job or you go for things like this.
Okay, what's not futile?
What's not futile?
Yeah, because if everything's futile, right? Mm-hmm. What is not futile? Because I want to understand what you mean by everything.
Some things would turn into meaningless things that you have done in your life. If there is no competition, I would think so.
You said, I've realized that I'm not going to compete.
No, I just wanted to say, competition is also good.
Okay.
We can't say that there is no competition and we shouldn't feel that competition, because also this competition is going to give you this urge in you to try more and more. When you're competing with yourself, maybe there comes a day that you feel like, okay, it's enough. It's enough for me. And you get satisfied with whoever you are right now.
Okay.
Then, in that moment, you turn into something not active too much. You would turn into a passive thing.
Okay.
But when there is a competition, you would feel like there's always this need in you to be improved or developed or evolved or whatever. You need to have a driving force.
It could be something better than just mere competition, right?
Yeah, it could be. But then you have to have that feeling of competition, I suppose.
Competing against whom?
Even if it's with your own self, I told you, you are going to get tired of it one day. So I guess sometimes it's good to look at other people's and maybe to compete with them in the sense of good things. Like, for example, I have a friend. She is too much evolved. And I look at her and then I learn from her.
Well, that's inspiration, though, right?
Yeah.
That's like taking inspiration from certain people.
Isn't it true that sometimes competition is going to give ways to inspiration?
I don't know. Because if you look at competition, right, if you want to compete with someone, you want to beat them at that thing. That's what it means. Like competing with someone is getting ahead of someone.
Does it necessarily mean that you have to beat them?
Competing with someone means one is ahead of another one. Like, right? Competition, what does it mean?
Okay, it's a competition, but wouldn't there be this competition in which there are 10 people who stay at the that place for the first person?
You can compete in terms of spirituality. You can compete with, for example, me. Or your brother, or your sister, your parents, anyone around you.
So in a spirituality, you cannot beat anyone.
You can beat someone. Why? Because, you know, after all, someone's in, be it spirituality or be it other worldly matters, someone's higher than another, right? That's true. Fair enough. So if you have, if you're higher than someone, you've beat them spiritually.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, it sounds
We've
wrong,
gone
but like,
too far.
Right. But like, can you do that with Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam?
See, I'm telling
That's
you,
inspiration.
There's no beating.
No, there is like there is gain ahead of them, right?
Yeah.
One can in a spiritual station be ahead of another person, right? That if you're competing with them, fair enough, you can be ahead of them, right? But can you do the same with like Masumin alayhi salatu wasalam, like Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam? Can you like go ahead of him spiritually? Well, no. But he himself is an inspiration for you. So that's the driving force for you. Like, that's what I'm trying to say is like inspiration is a stronger driving force than competition.
Yeah, I would agree right now.
And that's all I would say.
Yeah. See, just as we get to the end of this session, everything is solved.
Yeah, everything falls into place.
You have to say goodbye.
Do I have to?
Yeah.
Do I have to? Have to?
Have, must. You.
All right, okay. Then I'm being forced to say goodbye. I know you lot were eager to listen to more of what we have got to say, but unfortunately, our co-host over here has decided that we have to finish. So finish it is. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.